Welcome back to Peace on Purpose, the Dr. Blas podcast, the place where founders, CEOs, and legacy leaders come to fortify their mind, guard their mission, and build an empire that outlives them. I'm Dr. Elsie Blas, PhD health psychologist and certified holistic life and love coach, and the practitioner that high achievers call when their vision demands a stronger, sharper, and more unshakable mind. In today's episode, we are going to discuss the mental health provider in you who knows the work is powerful, but you're tired of feeling like you have to perform your marketing to get paid. This episode is also for you if you're an entrepreneur who keeps going round and round between mission and money, mission and money. Is this truly about your mission and your calling in life? Or is this work about the money that you want to make? This episode is also for you if you've realized that the deepest work, the work that actually changes lives, doesn't always photograph well. By the end of this episode, you will walk away with a clean distinction between aesthetic success and mission success, a nervous system liberated way to explain why real change feels unsexy mid-process, and a practical method to extract your methodology, protect it, and position it as a legacy asset. And what I'm really saying here is that repatterning the mind, emotional regulation, and behavior change isn't sexy when you're going through it mid-process. But it feels so sexy when you're completed, and you feel like it's a sexy thing to market. And it's so hard, I think, sometimes for a lot of entrepreneurs who are in the mental health field to market the sex appeal and attractiveness of what they are called to do. Sometimes we focus so much on money when really the idea here is to continue to remind yourself that the money is not the object of your affection. I know it's so hard to articulate that, but the mission is what is so valuable to you and to your clients. I want to share with you a series here. It's a series of thoughts and repositioning. This is a standalone episode, but it is the foundation of what I teach about mind redesign and behavioral repatterning. Because if you can't stay steady inside of the unglamorous middle, you'll keep abandoning the very work that makes you so rare. Now let's discuss some things that are super important. Real transformation is often less sexy while it's happening. And I'm not using sexy in a sexual way. So let's discuss this early on in the episode. When I say sexy, I want you to understand what I mean. It's the attractiveness, the effortless looking, socially shiny, instantly rewarding part of what I am actually talking about. It's the attractiveness. Repatterning isn't the shiny, sexy thing. It's surgical, not with a scalpel, but with precision. It's the slow restoration of integrity, thought, feeling, behavior, and identity. Here's what's actually happening in the brain and the body during deep change. Your nervous system renegotiating safety in that very moment. That's what is really happening when you are working on the body and the mind. Your nervous system is now renegotiating safety, what that equals, what that means, to the self. The second thing here that's happening when we are working on the mind and the body is that your brain is updating prediction patterns. What it expects within love, money, and leadership to feel like. So when we are repatterning and recoding the mind and the body, I call it mind redesign, recently trademarked. And what we're doing there again is updating prediction patterns, because your mind is like, wait, 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 but I thought love meant this. I thought love equaled this. I thought I was supposed to do this in order to receive love. And then with money, it's like, well, this is what my relationship with money has been like. This is probably what's going to continue happening. And so we're repatterning that. So the mind and the body is like, wait, 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 what's going to happen if we do this? What's going to happen if we say this? Same is true with leadership and all areas that we work on specifically. There'll be what I call subtopics. So we do mind redesign work, and I've trademarked my system, which is, it's the engine of the mind redesign, and it's called B Synaptic Recode. And what that does is it takes the old loops that are loose and they lose their power. We recreate important signals and new loops gain traction. And we watch our clients and patients do this in real time once we do this work with them. And that middle part can feel really awkward and uncomfortable and even boring to you or to your client or your patient. But boring can be a sign of regulation because the body is no longer addicted to chaos. Here's something I also want to share with you when we do this work together. And my target market for my offer here are those who are in the mental health field. You have patients and clients and you're doing the work. You're wanting to use an actual proven system, and this is for you. And this work, once you learn this work, you can apply it to yourself. You can heal your own money patterns, love patterns, and then you can bring this work into your field and into the work that you do. What disrupts and distorts the participation while you're hijacking the entrepreneur and the helpers, right? There are three distortions that hijack entrepreneurs when you do this work. I call it disrupt and distort. And it's a concept here, but let me explain. The distortion number one, confusing desire with direction. And I want you to think about this with your own work. And here's a prime example. My desire was success, was money, and the work that I did was repatterning and recoding. And I was confusing desire and with direction. Desire is valid, but direction is about assignment and what you're here to carry in your lifetime. And I wanted to carry financial success, which is not a bad thing, okay? That's what drives us when we're having difficulty at times. But I didn't want that to be my main squeeze. I didn't want that to be the main thing and the main reason why I did the work that I do. And I had to get out of that distortion. Remember, we want to disrupt or distort or take the distortion and disrupt it. And that was one of my distortions in my mind that I had to disrupt, because I also came from lack or challenges or, you know, financial distress in certain areas. And that can really hurt and hijack an entrepreneur's ability to do the work that they do in this world. The second distortion is a dopamine-based branding. If your marketing strategy is built on constant novelty, urgency, and hype, your business becomes an extension of dysregulation, high spikes, and hard crashes. And so in this moment, you have to decide, do I really want dopamine-based branding? Is that good for my nervous system? Is that good for the people that are meant to work with me? And then the third distortion that I've recognized that go on with mental health providers and coaches and those that are in the online space selling is trying to make the process look like the outcome. And you're selling the process and you're making it look like the outcome, but your potential buyers are confused. Healing work, or not clear, they're not clear and they're not choosing. Healing work has a before, a during, and an after. The after is the sexy part. It is the glow. The during is the rewiring. It is the discomfort. And people don't want to buy discomfort. They don't want to buy the rewiring process, even though that's what they need. And so we want to sell the after. We want to sell the final result. If you sell your glow, if you sell the attractive notion of your offer, your clients arrive shocked by the rewiring. And they think something is wrong when it's actually working. So there are moments in the process where they think something is wrong because they're like, hey, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't invest in this hard part of the growth. So that's when it's actually working, when they start realizing that this is way deeper, way more work than they had anticipated. It is important to let your client know that it's hard. But what I would say is market the attractive notion of the result, but also in your marketing address that this type of aligned offer for this aligned client is someone who can do hard things, someone who is a master of pushing through and persevering. And that helps you choose the right person who can do the hard things when it gets hard and the work that you do with them. Something else I want to share with you is the cost of avoidance or misalignment. When we avoid the less sexy part of the mission, the cost stacks quietly. You start building a business around what's easiest to sell, not what actually changes lives. And the second thing underneath this avoidance or misalignment is your clients get inspiration, but not installation, not real integration. All the Asians are showed up in there. And the third thing in avoidance or misalignment is that you burn out because you're performing marketing instead of delivering mastery. It's really hard for entrepreneurs to market and perform the mastery work. And you're doing two different things unless you're hiring help. The marketability piece, and then the delivery piece. And so that's where the exhaustion shows up. That's where the dysregulation shows up. And that would be the work that you would want to do with someone like me who has the recode and repatterning protocols and the practitioner piece. Here's the deeper issue. When money becomes the proof of obedience, you'll keep renegotiating your mission every time revenue fluctuates. So, and I'm going to say that again, okay? Here's the deeper issue. When money becomes the proof of obedience, so you're like, okay, if I do this, then the proof is that I get paid. If I do this, I get paid. If I do this, I get paid. If I do this, I get paid. And what happens when the revenue fluctuates and the money is not coming in is that you start renegotiating your mission. Like, should I really be doing this? Should I really be selling this? Is this really the work that I'm supposed to be doing? Maybe I should try something else. You have to stay stable. This is so interesting that I'm saying this right now. You have to stay stable. You have to stay stable. Stable in the mission. Your stability doesn't come with whether or not you get paid. The stability comes with whether or not you know what you're here to do. So the missing stabilizer, let's talk about the missing stabilizer piece. This is such a good episode. I need you to really sit with this. Your brain might be like, wait, what are you talking about? What are you saying? That's normal. It's because I'm bringing you something that hasn't been brought to you before or is, but it's coming, it's being executed in a different way. But I really need you to hear what it is that I'm saying. And if you are confused, if you have questions, if you want to dive deeper in what I'm sharing, I'm going to leave a link below where you can schedule a free call with me to really go over this episode and what it means to you and what you can really get out of it. And I don't often do that. I actually don't even know that I have done that, but I feel like this is so important that it requires some one-on-one conversation and one-on-one exchange in conversation about this piece. Okay, so let's go to the missing stabilizer to help you stabilize in your mission, not so much the money piece. here's what stabilizes for high-level practitioners. You extract your method. This is what I want to help you do. Extract your method. You're going to stop treating your brilliance as vibes. I'm gonna pin that part right there, okay? You're gonna stop treating your brilliance as vibes and start treating it like intellectual property, a teachable, protectable system, one that you will trademark, and you could also potentially license out your work, maybe even to some of the clients you already have. I know, it's gonna get really good. It's getting juicy, isn't it? Your brain is working. It's thinking of things. You know, we come from 2014, 2015, 2016, and 2017. I mean, you know, even up to, I would say 2021, 2022, in our career path and in the work that we do, I kept seeing vibes, where everybody was selling vibes. But I want you to start selling your brilliance, treating it like intellectual property. That's what's really going to make you something in this world and really set you apart, is not you selling vibes. Those days are over. And if you are continuing to do that even right now and it's 2026, I would highly recommend for you to hang that up and change gears, switch gears here. And this is innovation in pivoting. You're pivoting and you're being innovative in this marketplace. That's why I teach providers to pull their process out of their sessions. In our sessions together, we're going to pull your process out of it. We're going to name it, structure it, document it, give it a step-by-step process. And you don't have to feel like this is scary and, oh man, this is a lot of work. No, we're going to use AI to help us, and we're going to do it very, very quickly. We don't have to make this extra hard. We just have to make it real and doable and sit together and work through it. That's it. Then what you're going to do is you'll trademark what's eligible. And then lastly, I'm going to help you license it so the method becomes an asset that can outlive your calendar, outlive your lifetime. It's a legacy that you will leave behind for your organization to be ran by another CEO and et cetera, and continue to heal and help people in the world. This legacy doesn't have to end with you. It can start with you. And that's what I mean by you living out this lifetime with your mission instead of trying to just get rich quick. And some of you will try to do that and then sell it and then move on. And that's okay. I'm okay. I'm happy with you doing that. I mean, imagine you licensing your work and you're now retired or maybe continuing your work. You can stay in the business. You can be 70 years old, still doing this work. You can be 80 years old. I have a mentor and she's in her 80s and she's still doing the work. And she said, I will stop doing the work when God takes me. As long as I'm still breathing, I'm still going to be doing this work. So it's really up to you. This is legacy. Not just income, it's impact that remains and it stays forever. And it also protects your nervous system because you're no longer reinventing the wheel every time you serve a new client. You are staying stable, stable in your mind, your emotions, and in your offer. So if you're a mental health provider, a therapist, a coach, a clinician, an educator, program director, and you've been thinking, I need a method that is ethical, structured and repeatable, and I want it to be mine. That is exactly why I'm opening up identity space for a trainer like you who needs a container where I teach my core method, the B-Synaptic Recode, inside of the Mind Redesign and Behavioral Repatterning Protocol. There's two ways to enter. It's for 6 weeks. The practicum, you learn it, practice it, and you start applying it right away. And then there's a 12-week, the full installation, deeper competency, cleaner delivery, and stronger clinical confidence. Within that, it comes with a licensing agreement where you can use my methodology for up to a year at no cost to you. And if you want to continue the work with your staff, with your mental health practice, you can also license the work after that point for a monthly fee or an annual fee. Licensing is not about hype. It's a pathway. It's a pathway that governs. It's clear standards, clean use, and it has proof of being worked through and results being shown and given over the last years. I've had so many people, even in my PhD program, in order for us to graduate, we had to prove that our protocol, that what we, our dissertation was accurate with over 120 participants. We had to prove the case. And I want to help you do the same thing. It is a beautiful experience. It gives you so much confidence in the work that you do. And it's amazing. I mean, talk about identity change. It can be in your trademarks. It can be a part of the work that you do, that you came here to do. Empowered leadership doesn't begin when circumstances change. It begins when your internal system is prepared to hold what it's asking for. Clients hire me to modify the identity, biology, and behavior required for their next level of success. And if today's episode elevated your mind or strengthened your mission, I want you to leave a 5-star rating. It helps the right people find the work that actually changes lives. I want to thank you so much for sitting with me here and really just looking over your business as a practitioner and as a healer and or a coach. And I want you to sit with where your next moves for 2027 will be and then decide what 2026 is going to look like. A lot of times people say, I want to have this goal this year and that's what I'm going to focus on. I want you to choose your goal for 2027 and then I want you to come back into 2026 and I want you to set your goal based off of the goal of your 2027. And when you do that, you are thinking in a way that's called the infinite mind rather than the finite mind. The finite mind thinks about right now and right now only, you know, and I want you to think beyond right now because you're a legacy leader and you have come here to do way more than what you've been participating in your recent years of this work. If you want to take this to the next level and you want to make it more scientific, if you want to make it more more of a practicum, if you want to make it more of what someone would take seriously and define what you're here to do, then I want you to join me in this work. I am Dr. Elsie Blass from elsieblass.com. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope that this really shifted you in a positive way. And I will talk to you in our next episode. Bye for now.